Welcome all friends and family to this very special occasion. We have come together before the face of God to join Aaron Wendt and Miranda Siemens in marriage. We seek to honor the will of God for marriage, the concern of the Christian church for its well-being, and the interest of the state in the orderly development of society. You all may be seated at this moment, except for everybody else up here. And let's pray for the Lord's blessing on this ceremony. Let's pray. God, our Father, we praise you for making and redeeming us to live together in love. We thank you for the love and trust which brings Aaron and Miranda to this, their marriage day. Favor them with the honor of your presence at their wedding. Unite them by your Spirit, so that together they may reflect the love of Christ for his church, and the church's submission to Christ. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Who gives this woman to this man? At this time, let's sing together, Speak, O Lord, stanzas 1 and 3, and we can stand for that. Speak, O Lord, stanzas 1 and 3. Beloved in the Lord, we are assembled here in the presence of God for the purpose of joining in marriage Aaron and Miranda. And since we have received no lawful objections to their proposed union, which knowing Aaron is quite surprising, I told you I was going to get you. Let us reverently call to mind the institution, the purpose, and the obligations of the marriage state. The holy bond of marriage was instituted by God Himself at the very dawn of history. Making man in His own likeness, He endowed him with many blessings and gave him dominion over all things. Moreover, God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." Thereupon, God created woman of man's own substance and brought her unto the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Our Lord Jesus honored marriage by His blessed presence at the wedding in Cana and confirmed it as a divine ordinance, as an honorable estate, and as a lasting bond when He declared, "What God has joined together, let not man put asunder." The Apostle Paul shows its exalted nature when he calls holy wedlock a symbol of the mystic union of the Savior and the Church. His esteemed bride commending it as a state honorable to all. The purpose of marriage is the propagation of the human race, the furtherance of the kingdom of God, and the enrichment of the lives of those entering this state. This purpose calls for a loving devotion to each other and a common responsibility for the nurture of the children the Lord may give them as His heritage and as parties to His covenant. For the home which marriage establishes, the Lord ordained that the man should be the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and that He should protect her and provide for her in love, a love which, if exercised in the Spirit and after the example of Christ, will be conducive to mutual happiness. God also ordained that the wife should be subject to the husband in all things that are according to His word, showing him deference even as the church to Christ. Thus, the liberty of both husband and wife is glorified by mutual loyalty to law, and a home so begun in the name of the Lord and regulated by His commandments becomes the very foundation of a Christian society and affords a foretaste of the eternal home. Marriage, then, is a divine ordinance intended to be a source of happiness to man, an institution of the highest significance to the human race, and a symbol of the union of Christ and His church. We may, therefore, as Christians, look with confidence for grace in the discharge of our mutual responsibilities and for guidance and help in our common perplexities and trials. May the Lord God confirm the desire and purpose of your hearts, and your beginning be in the name of Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. At this time, we'll sing together In Christ Alone. at this time, we'll read the passage that Aaron and Miranda have chosen, which is Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, at verse 9, we read from God's most holy word, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we gather together to witness and celebrate the wedding of Aaron and Miranda, and we are reminded of this sacred institution of marriage that God has given to us. God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that it would not be good that man should be alone, and so created out of the rib of man a woman. As a number of theologians have pointed out, Eve was not made out of his head that she should rule over him. We'll wait for that. There we go. As a number of theologians have pointed out, Eve was not made out of his head that she should rule over him, nor out of his feet that she should be trampled on, but out of his side, that they should walk hand in hand through life's journey together. For she was made from his rib, that she would be always under his arms to be protected by him, and always near to his heart to be loved by him. Behold with what beauty our God has made us, man and woman, and also what beauty he has given to this institution of marriage. And may you, Aaron and Miranda, and all those married, revel in the beauty of this divine ordained relationship. The content of Ecclesiastes 4 applies to any serious friendship or relationship, but has particular implications for the chief earthly relationship, that of husband and wife. Verses 9 through 11 of this chapter, in the context of marriage, refer to the rewards of working together and for each other. You get to experience the joys of sharing life together. When you complete a project, probably the house you're working on, you get to delight in that project together. You get to experience the joys and benefits of each other's gifts and talents. You're also there for each other when one falls. You also get to walk through the difficulties of life together. You get to have someone by your side through the pains and the trials and the struggles of life. You get to feel the warmth of each other's company, both spiritually and physically. You have someone's shoulder to cry on in your failures. Someone's warm embrace in your pain. Someone's listening ear and comforting and encouraging words in your moments of insecurity. You have someone that can and should express thanksgiving over your service for them. All of these things are blessings that one can experience in a friendship, but are experienced in their greatest height and grandeur in marriage. But in the few moments that we have here, I want us to think about what is the real strength of marriage. We live in a society in which about 50% of all marriages end up in divorce. And I want to just recount a bit of a joke that Alistair Begg said in this regard. He said, that marriage is a very treacherous enterprise. 50% of you will quit and the other 50% will die. And that's, you know, well, it's funny and kind of true. Yet when we watch the chick flicks and the romantic movies, at the end when Prince Charming finally gets together with his princess, we expect the fairy tale ending, that they lived happily ever after. Our society still wants in marriage, to a certain degree, a lifelong promise and a commitment of love. It's still appealing. It's still something that people want. However, while people make many promises, like I'll love you forever, the rate at which people in our society break those promises, I think we would say, is quite tragic. Even if the marriages don't end up in divorce, many of them, and the statistics are really sad and quite high, of people who are unhappy in their marriages but stay together for financial reasons or for the sake of the children, or just don't want to go through the messiness of divorce. These people have also broken their promise of, I will love you forever, because the love in such a relationship is dead. And for all intents and purposes, they're living as if they are spiritually divorced, even if they are physically and according to the government still married. So this is the question that I want us to think about. How do you know, Aaron and Miranda, that you will walk down that aisle and you will keep the promises that you make here today? How do you know that? Not perfectly, but how do you know you'll keep them? And how do we all know that as they walk down that aisle, they will keep those promises? Instead of just saying, well, hope it goes well, how do we know that they will keep that promise till death do them part? What is the strength of marriage? Well, actually, the question's better phrased, who is the strength of marriage? In the last phrase of verse 12 of our passage, we read, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Something that often happens in wisdom literature, in Scripture, is that the author, after he's been talking about something of major significance, in the last line of the proverb, says something that leads us to the Lord. And that's what we find here. It is at this point that I want us to think about the illustration of a cord or a rope. If you have one single piece of cord, it's strong. But if you wrap it around another piece of cord or rope, it becomes more than twice as strong. And I don't think I have to do too much explaining here to see how that applies to marriage. But how do you make a cord or a rope, or we can think of baling twine, how do you make that weaker? Well, you can do one of two things. You can either unwind and separate the two pieces of cord, or you can rub the two-fold cord against something, especially something sharp. And when you do that, what begins to happen? The rope begins to fray. Anytime you have fraying, the cord is weakened. But that is the beauty of having the Lord Jesus as the third strand, because he never frays. He never comes apart. He is constant and faithful. And thus, even when one or both of you are being frayed by some challenge, difficulty, or going astray in some way, you can trust that it is the Lord Jesus that is with you, is surrounding you with his love, and is holding you together. And even if something in life, some sharp and painful trial, whether it is the loss of a child walking away from the faith, financial struggles, extended family tensions, the general or extreme stresses of life, and the both of you are irritating each other, rubbing up against each other, whatever the trial may be, even as it might be extremely sharp and painful, and you start to feel like you maybe are going to snap, remember who is holding you. Remember who is the third cord. Christ is the never fraying cord. Baling twine is easily clipped. You know that. But imagine Christ as the steel cable that goes around. Cannot be broken. He will not let you go. Christ not only is the strength of marriage, but he does so with sympathetic love. Because remember, he is your sympathetic high priest. He knows all the same struggles and temptations that you go through, and he will bind you and hold you together in his perfect love. Even if you, as those two cords, begin to attack each other, which anybody married longer than 5 minutes knows there will be some point a fight, right? And when you have a disagreement or a fight or an argument, the object of that fight can put a wedge between you, and it can cause fraying to happen. But remember, Christ enfolds you and binds you close. And he will give you the strength and the power to overcome all those obstacles. Aaron, you are going to do some really unintelligent things. I don't think that's a surprise to any of us. You're even going to do sinful things against your wife. You're going to fray, and you're going to cause your wife to fray at times. Remember the third strand. Christ will keep you together. Keep him as the center of your marriage, and he will keep you together. Miranda, you're going to do some not quite as unintelligent as Aaron, but you're going to do some unintelligent things, even sinful things, against your husband. You're going to fray, and you're going to cause your husband to fray, but Christ is the strength of your marriage. He will keep you together. That is your confidence. That's where it must always be, is in Christ your Savior. Christ can and will keep you together because he is faithful. He is constant. He is love. And his love is perfect and unending. He is the faithful and unbreakable loving cord that is wrapped around both of you. The strength of your marriage will not be in a feeling. It is not in a book on marriage. It will not be money, and it will not be children. It will be and can only be the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord and in the love and strength of Jesus to hold you up and hold you together. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here with us this day. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bless Aaron and Miranda together. Be their third strand to make them a strong cord. Oh Lord, please do so in the greatness of your power, to the glory of your name, and with great love. Oh Lord, we pray that Aaron and Miranda would be a beautiful picture of Christ and the church. May they be strong witnesses for you as they love each other and submit to one another. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless them and uphold them and strengthen them no matter what challenges come their way. And may O Lord Jesus, you be the center of their marriage. Would you bind them close together and heal them whenever they need it? We pray this all to the glory of your name and the blessing of this couple. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we'll sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. At this time, we'll have the exchanging of the vows. And Aaron, you go first and repeat after me. I, Aaron,
take you, Miranda,
to be my wife. I promise before God,
and all who are present here,
to be your loving
and faithful husband.
I will love you,
and give myself up for you.
As Christ loved the church.
And gave himself up for her.
I promise
to be true
to you.
In good times.
And in bad.
In riches.
And in poverty.
In sickness.
And in health.
I will serve you.
With tenderness
and respect,
and encourage you
to develop
the gifts
that God has given you,
and never forsake you,
as long as we both shall live.
Miranda, repeat after me. I, Miranda,
take you, Aaron,
to be my husband. I promise. Before God and all who are present here, to be your loving and faithful wife. I will love you and submit to you as the church loves and submits to Christ. I promise to be true to you in good times and in bad, in riches and in poverty, in sickness and in health. I will serve you with tenderness and respect and encourage you to develop the gifts that God has given you and never forsake you as long as we both shall live. At this time, we'll have the rings. Aaron, you first. Good. Aaron, do you give this ring as a symbol of your constant faithfulness and abiding love?
I do.
Miranda, do you give this ring as a symbol of your constant faithfulness and abiding love? At this time, we'll have the signing of the marriage certificate. Well, it is my privilege on behalf of the Grace Reformed Church in Kelowna as well to give you a Bible. And we pray that God's Word would always be a light on your path together. So I won't make you hold it now because you're holding each other's hands. But I'll put that there. According to the laws of the state and the ordinances of the Church of Christ, I now pronounce you, Aaron and Miranda, husband and wife, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Henceforth you go down life's pathway together, and may the Father of all mercies, who of his grace has called you to this holy state of marriage, bind you together in true love and faithfulness, and grant you his blessing. Aaron, you may now kiss the bride. All right, just wait. All right. It's okay. All right. Let's pray. Most merciful and gracious God, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, we plead with you, set the seal of your approval upon the marriage into which our brother and sister have entered this day. Give them your fatherly blessing. Grant them and grant your Holy Spirit to fulfill with pure and constant affection the vow and covenant between them made. Guide them in the way of righteousness and peace, that loving and serving you with one mind and heart all the days of their life, they may be abundantly enriched with the tokens of your everlasting favor in Christ Jesus our Lord. In all of life's experiences, lift up your countenance upon them, and that they may be thankful in prosperity and patient in adversity. May their marriage be fruitful for this life and for the life to come. Grant them wisdom and strength to build a home, which shall be to the glory of your name and the coming of your kingdom. May they live together many years, and in the hour of death, may they part in the blessed hope of celebrating forever with all the saints, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And we'll sing together, Now Thank We All Our God. It is my privilege to present to you for the very first time Mr. and Mrs. Aaron Wendt.